which means that there were probably about 19 separate big weapon systems all combined into one program.
Very expensive and it's been complex. How's that for the understatement of the day?
It was a very complex program, and as you know, the Secretary of Defense last April announced that what I would call a restructuring. Actually, the department says it was terminated in order to take some of the complexity out of it and to get some of the things that they're close to getting completed, delivered to the warfighter.
So what you actually did was say, okay, now post restructuring or termination, whichever we choose to call it, how do you move forward? And how do they move forward? Because there was a lot of time, energy, effort, and money invested in the Future Combat System.
Absolutely. And so what they decided to do was take a look at what they had on the Future Combat System and pick out some of those components that they were that were pretty mature, that they were fairly far along with. They refer to them as spin-outs. So this would have been a number of unmanned ground vehicles that they were pretty far along in development, an unmanned aerial vehicle, some sensors and some network, some foundational network stuff that could hook all that up. And they decided that their first order of business would be to put together a program. They call it Increment 1 for combat brigade teams to get those, the ones that they were near production with, to make a program out of those and deliver them as quickly as possible.
Why is this so hard to do? This has been very, I mean, Army's been trying for a long time to do this, and it's just proven to be very complex.
First of all, I think the program itself was much more complex than most of their usual complex weapon system programs because it was a system of systems. Mm. I think in a way they were trying to manage more than what was manageable. So that was the first thing.
Because everything was almost so interdependent on one another.
Yes.
If one piece didn't work, it had so many, the ripple effects were just through the whole system.
Yeah, so it required a network to link everything up together. The other thing was that once you got into each one of these systems, they were depending on technologies that were very immature. They were really doing technology development in many cases, which is very hard to schedule. It's very hard to schedule invention.
And did you find that with this reformed look, are they taking a step back? Have they learned some of these lessons?
That was one of our concerns, was have they learned lessons from their experience, and are they following the new policies that just came out that require more knowledge before you move forward? And I think the results are mixed. That first increment for the brigade combat team, the one I talked about, the spin-outs, we believe that perhaps they're moving out a little too quickly with that. They've tested a lot of those, and they've come up with the reliability. The systems in the network were all immature, unreliable, and they weren't performing as required in the test. They did like an operational test.
Mm-hmm.
But they still made a decision to go ahead with the program and try to deliver and field that in the 2012 time frame. And we think they're moving too quickly. In other words, they made a production decision based on things that we think still need a lot more development.
Yep.
So we believe there's more risk in there than they should have taken on.
It seems like one can often get caught in this. You have the folks on the field saying, the soldiers and warfighters saying, hey, we need something. We need this now. We need it sooner, not late.
Right.
We need it yesterday. And yet they also get something rolled out that's not fully proven, not fully tested, maybe not as reliable as they need. And then they push back that way. How do you deal with those seemingly conflicting challenges?
Well, it is, and that's what they were faced with, is the Secretary of Defense had said that we need to get things to the warfighter as quickly as possible. So they took that as part of their mission, and we think they're just going a little too quickly. The way we think you deal with it, in fact, what we recommended in the report and then in the testimony we did, is that the Army should correct, first of all, identify maturity and reliability issues, and then correct any of those issues prior to either fielding the equipment that they're working on in that Increment 1 or approving additional system procurement. They're supposed to buy the Increment 1, I think they're buying some multiple sets of that. So what we said is, you already got the first one going, but you should not deliver that until you've solved all these reliability and maturity problems. And then the other part of the recommendation was don't start any new ones until they're mature.
One part of the testimony particularly struck me, and I'm going to quote it, the decision not to follow knowledge-based acquisition practices, and runs the risk of delivering unacceptable equipment to the warfighter and trading off acquisition principles whose validity has been not so recently understood. Describe what that means.
Well, what we said in the report, and when we looked at how they're proceeding with this, we said that they were at variance with DOD and Army policy, which is, I don't know how familiar you are with the recent acquisition reforms and changes to DOD's acquisition policies, but they really affirm the fact that you have to have full knowledge of technologies and you have to have reduced risk, design risk, and manufacturing risk before you should move forward and invest more money and make a production decision. Well, they've already made the production decision, and they still have significant risks with the reliability and maturity. When they tested these things, they weren't testing production representative systems. A lot of them were surrogates and things like that. So they didn't get a good feel for how feasible these systems will be once fielded.
So what
that runs counter to all of the reforms that they just implemented.
So what are you watching for in the months, years to come?
Well, the Army agreed with our recommendation, and what they said, they conceded, the Army concedes that that there's risk here and that they have reliability issues, and what they've promised is that they will not field any of these components. There's seven or eight components that they're working on, and some of them are further along than others, and so what they said is they will not field any of them unless they're ready. And we have problems with that, too, because they're well past the point in the business case where they promised more and may deliver less. But we think that's one way to mitigate this. You know, the Army has said that. We will make sure we don't do it. So there could be delays to this. But, you know, in the end, that means more time and money. Now, on the other hand, another program that they've started coming out of this, you know, under this new modernization effort is the ground combat vehicle, which was a big piece of the future combat system. They terminated that, and they've decided to start anew looking at requirements for a new ground combat vehicle. And we think so far, anyway, they're doing a good job on paper of trying to use the lessons learned from FCS and following the acquisition policies that are in place. They're taking their time with that. They want to do it in 7 years, and they're going to try to balance requirements with available technologies. They're doing a lot of early prototyping, things like that. So that we would say, at least so far, it's very early in that program, but we're more optimistic about that.